All right, I guess before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are grateful and thankful for your word, thankful for that you always have a plan, you have a purpose for our lives, and we just pray for the concentration today and understanding and focus, so we can grow in your word and also apply it to our lives. We thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we left off with verse 13 here. Paul's basically stating his position in the matter, that what's important to him is if his brother stumbles, then he's going to not eat. Did I leave you in the dark? So there's the where Paul takes us, is if meat is causing a problem, or what you can apply this to any liberty. If it's causing an issue, just don't do it. Because what's more important is the spiritual upward growth of that new believer or baby believer, or however you want to look at it. And we have to look out for them. We've got to protect them. We've got to know where they are and be careful not to deter them, because, you know, they're very easily tripped up in the spiritual life. And I can tell you firsthand that someone that is new in the faith, some of these concepts that we learned can be difficult to receive, right? And it's too often, unfortunately, that when we hear the truth, sometimes that it is offending, right? It offends us. And the goal, and what I appreciate about you, is you can hear it and just keep on trucking. You know that it's truth. You know that it's what we need, and it's how we live our life. And it doesn't always agree with what we think. And now I'm just talking about truth here. So, but at some point, we've got to get to where Paul is when it comes to taking others into consideration. You know, I think we live a lot of the times without doing this until it becomes a major focus in your life from your spiritual growth, because God kind of points us in this direction. He keeps nudging us in this direction. And then finally, you have to come to grips with, this is God's plan. This is God's will. This is what I'm called to do. And so you eventually get to the place where not only is it not a burden, because you realize that you're serving God, but you also know that there's a lot of blessings and benefit that come not only to you, but also to the other individual involved that you're dealing with. You know, we're in the business of benefit. Spiritual benefit to others, whether it be at salvation or whether it be at their spiritual growth. We want to be able to facilitate or promote or even initiate that process. And so, you know, that's why Paul started with that arrogance, because it's destructive. It tears down. Love, on the other hand, takes all these things into account that we've been talking about. So, and also there's a great satisfaction in knowing that you are being obedient to God's word. That's the approval that we're looking for. We're looking for that approval or God's desire. What does he want me to do? Not only that, but how does he want me to do it? You know, these are the things that come into your mind as a growing believer. And if we're going to live, we want to live according to his word, according to his word. And so you begin to take other spiritual growth into account. Take note of the weak conscience. I think your priorities go more and more in the direction of God's plan and his desires. And we're all moving in that direction. The matter is, how far are we going to go? Hopefully we don't stop, right? The goal is to grow and grow, continue to glorify God until we depart this earth. And that's the ultimate desire that he has. But at the same time, as we go through this, you know, we're called to be a breath of fresh air to other people. And this is part of that breath of fresh air, that grace that comes through you is also found in love. It is. You know, people may not deserve this. People don't understand it. We're not going to talk about it necessarily with them, but we're going to give it. We're going to provide it. We're going to offer it because they need it. And, you know, when we're in that position, we don't always do things to our benefit. I'm talking about the weak believer. So they're in a very a stage that's they can easily foul things up. So I hope you've been seeing, as I've been going through this, the subject, that divine love has that objective that I mentioned earlier, that underlying mission, that it's God's mission, it's His plan, it's what He wants us to do, and that brings positive results to people in you, in your life too, spiritually. And it's your witness, you know. You have to look at yourself as a beacon of light in the world. God places you in different places, in your workplace, around different people, friends, different backgrounds, for a reason. He's using you in a very effective way, and that's that beacon of light. And this is part of that light shining, is love, taking them into account. You know, that's few and far between in this world. How many people took you into account? You can probably count them on one hand, maybe, that took your, you know, maybe you were going to fail and go in the wrong direction. Someone took that into account and helped you, encouraged you, provided a way for you. That's where we're at, and that's what we need to fulfill. And notice that the mission and the objective of love isn't in the physical. It's in the spiritual. That's where our focus is. It's on fulfilling God's plan and God's mission for our life. That's a spiritual issue. You know, if we're going to protect, sure, we'll protect in the physical, but we want to protect people's spiritual life. We want to protect their soul, and that starts at salvation, doesn't it? We want them eternally saved, honestly. But after that, we want them to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So there's your mission. And God is concerned first and foremost with the spiritual side of mankind, with the phase one and phase two, salvation and the walk, Christian walk. Those are the two that we're talking about. And here's a situation dealing with other believers. And if God is interested in their spiritual priority, notice that we are too. It's God working through you. So His desires become your desires for mankind. Because you're in the plan. You're growing. You're moving in the right direction. Are you going to fail? Yes, you're human. But what I'm saying is people need to be in a place where they're glorifying God. That's the purpose of this life. That's why we're here. So we have to help in that area, help people get there or provide a way for them to get there. The word here Paul uses for never is, it's two words, it's oume, O-U-M-E. And that is a double negative in the Greek. It's the strongest emphasis or it strengthens the denial, you could say. It's the strongest strengthening of the denial when Paul says never. It just goes to show you where he is, where his thought process, where is he's thinking at right here. He's saying, I will never eat meat again if it causes his brother to stumble. He's not, the time of that is open-ended. Notice that? But it's conditioned on his brother stumbling. So that's what he's taking into account. And to apply God's love towards others is to keep your rights and liberties in view with how it can negatively affect them, as we've seen. This passage, I think, is bringing up another important concept about love. Is there sacrifice involved in love? There's sacrifice involved. There's no doubt. I mean, Jesus Christ is a perfect example of that sacrifice, as we've seen, as we're continuing to see. And these this love, or at least this aspect of love, carries an inherent sacrifice to it. Because at the, you know, sacrifice of Paul's liberty, that's the sacrifice. He's sacrificing what he could do, what's right to do, and he's doing it on behalf of someone else that didn't deserve it, may not even know about it. And that's what Christ did for us. And actually, there's people that rejected that and, you know, tried to stop him from doing his mission, but he fulfilled it perfectly on the cross. And so when we think about this love, you know, in the back of our minds, Jesus Christ keeps bubbling to the surface about his life, what he did, how he was obedient to the plan of the Father, how he sacrificed his life, his 33 years on this earth of living as unto God and his plan and will. And he had all this, doing all this as he went down this road, doing it, taking us into consideration. So guess what we're called to do? The same thing. Eventually, you will be at a point in your spiritual life and you realize, well, wow, it's not really all about me. It's not just about growing up spiritually for my own personal benefit. It's about other people. Because, you know, God has to use you, and the only way he can use you is around others, other people, the body, unbelievers, you name it. And Paul continues this same subject through chapter 9, and I wanted to just show you a few of these verses, because he's talking about the exact same subject here. 1 Corinthians 9:12. If others share the right over you, and you've heard this verse, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. So you see where Paul is in his standing, in his understanding, and where his position is in his Christian belief, in his growth. He doesn't want to cause a hindrance. And that means there's an endurance involved in that. There's an endurance in love. It just naturally carries that endurance with it. Because, not because of something that we are we, you know, in the physical, it's because of Jesus Christ. That's our motivation to move forward. That's our motivation of why we're here. That's your motivation of why we continue every day to grow spiritually. It's because Jesus Christ provided our eternal salvation when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't have a solution, but he provided it. That's motivating. And you've seen this verse early on, but I wanted to point these things out, that divine love naturally carries an endurance to it, and not being a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. And when you think of the gospel of Christ, don't just think of salvation. Remember, look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that, what's the purpose? So that we would walk in them. So when we think about in the business of the gospel of Jesus Christ, think about what a young believer, the direction he needs to go. If we're going to live for Christ, we need to live in Christ, which is his motivation, his desire for other people. We have that same desire. We know that if they're saved, they have a purpose. They're just maybe off track. And there's a lot of people in this world that are just saved and they're just not growing. They're saved and they're not taking in any truth. They're not growing up spiritually. They're not glorifying God, and they're just living. Going to work, going home with their family, maybe having a decent job, decent money, buy a house, buy a piece of land, and call it a day. No satisfaction in that. No happiness in that. We've got to get them and protect them in a way that gets them moving in this direction. That's your, and I think it's a neat mission, because you don't have to come out and tell anybody what you're doing. That's not part of it. You may not have to say anything. So part of this is just being there for people. Maybe one day a week. Maybe a text once a month. Something has to be a part of your encouragement to other people to get them moving in the right direction. because that's their purpose. That's God's purpose for them. They're just not there. They're not seeing it. Their conscience is weak. The world is a lot stronger than the truth of God's word in their life right now. So we're the ones that have to step in and take root and say, hey, love takes that into account. I'm not saying be overbearing or anything, but our salvation is for the purpose of producing divine good and walking in them, just as this verse says, glorifying God. And he prepared those things beforehand. So if someone's not growing spiritually, what does that mean? They're not on mission. They're not fulfilling the Christian way of life that God has planned and designed for them. And that seems to be so lacking in Christians today. They believe in Jesus Christ. They are eternally saved. But they're not doing anything about it. And you know, when you think about the greatness of what we have in Christ and what he did for us, you know, and the fact that death is just a phase we're just passing through. He provided that just so we can live into eternity. The least we could do is just learn about him. Who he is our God. What does he want from us? Because he gave us life. But Satan has a funny way of obscuring that concept, making it not a big deal, making the things of this world a bigger deal than God. So we have to take that into account as well. So many Christians are going through life miserable, floundering around looking for happiness in the wrong places, in the things of this world they're looking for happiness. We want to direct them to the things where real happiness is found. That's what we're looking for, or we desire from them. We want true happiness in other people. We don't want to see them keep going to temporary happiness and finding it in the physical things and then coming down, going to the next physical thing. We want to get them eternally happy, content in a soul, in their soul. That's what we're looking for. And then Paul gives us the reason why he's going through all of this on account of others. Back in Corinthians, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. See his mission? You see the where he's going, the trajectory he's on? This is the word kerdino. And keep in mind that this word is not specifically about salvation. Look at what it means. To acquire by effort or investment to gain. That's what we're doing. There's people that are unbelievers. There's people that are believers. But guess what? You're gaining them to Christ. You're winning them. If they are saved, that's a win. If they start to get out of that stagnant area in their life and they start to grow, that's a win. Not for you, for Christ. But that's what Paul's in the business of. To acquire, and notice that there's an effort involved. There's an effort. In other words, it takes time. It's not going to be overnight. As you well know, people don't just hear a conversation and say, oh, great, I'm going to just start moving in that direction now. It's a process. There's an effort involved on your part. In other words, there's sacrifice. There's sacrifice. But is that a positive thing? Yes, it is. Because look what it's doing. Look what it's doing. You know, we don't have to sacrifice and we cannot get any results from that as well. Or we can sacrifice and see results in other people, and that's satisfying. So when there's an investment that has eternal and divine returns that we're dealing with here. And that's why I say, you know, this reminds me that love is patient. Love is patient. It has to be patient. God is patient with us, isn't he? He's patient with us. I look back at my spiritual life. He should have given me the boot a long time ago. But he didn't. I'm here. He was patient. And he kept providing a way, an open path, another breath of fresh air. And I kept moving, and you keep moving, and now we're just all here. How the heck did we get here? Heck, I don't know, but we're here. He did it. That's why. He provided it. Because he made the investment. He took the effort to get us here. And now that he got you here, he wants you to get other people there. But guess what? He's doing it, but he's going to do it through you. Because he wants everybody to grow in this direction. So don't ever discount the fact that you're reaching out. You know, everything happens for a reason. I'm a true believer of that. And I'm not just talking about, you know, in the physical realm. Oh, just everything has for, no, everything happens for an eternal reason. There's a reason it's tied to, there's a reason it happened. There's a reason you made contact with that person. There's a reason they're still calling you. There's a reason things are happening like that. Because that's part of the investment. It's part of the investment. So don't discount it. Don't get frustrated with it. Don't get angry. Take it for what it is and realize that God is using you. God's using you. So I'm going to read through these verses quickly because I just want to show you how many times Paul uses the word when. And look what he goes through, his investment, his sacrifice, all for the sake of gaining an investment that he's put his time in and his money and his effort and his blood, sweat, and tears into. Look what he says. To the Jew I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak. There's our word, same word we've been talking about, to the weak believers. To the weak I became weak. I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. In other words, preserve some. Whether it be eternally at salvation or whether it be in their walk spiritually. Save them. Save them from this world. Save them from sin. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. And this is in the context of rewards, by the way. This is in the context of rewards and running the race. Paul goes on to talk about the race. So I don't swing as I'm just swinging in the air. And he tells us that we don't want to waste time. We want to race in a way that's effective and that is meaningful. And we want to win. And it, you know, this includes other people having an impact on other people. I wanted to read this verse to you because I think it brings out a good point about our subject today and about what God does to us when it comes to our salvation in Jesus Christ. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, isn't that word in this verse interesting? Draws. Listen to what this word means. It means to move an object from one area to another in a pulling motion, with implication that the object being moved is incapable of propelling itself, or in the case of a person, is unwilling to do so voluntarily. In either case, with the implication of exertion on the part of the mover. Wow. That's grace. And guess what God is drawing us through? People. He drew you here through other people. And that's why we're talking about this subject, because God is drawing us all to Him, and it takes people. It takes believers in Jesus Christ who have the grace attitude, the grace understanding, the love, divine love to help other believers that aren't where you are. Incapable to propel ourselves. So because He loved us, He draws us. And look where the glory goes. on the part of the mover. On the part of the mover. God is in charge of moving you in this direction, towards Him, closer to Him. Just goes to show you that God works through people. So the effort it takes for you to gain or win someone by investing in them, God is the one who gets the glory, because it's His effort through you in the power of the Holy Spirit what makes all this happen. And as I was going through this, you know, I just think about how much God invests in us. He provided everything we need in Jesus Christ for us to be able to have a return, an eternal return that we can have in Him. And that's what He did. He invested. And to not accept that investment that's already been there, provided, waiting, it's built up an eternal inheritance. Why not? It's based in love. It's rooted in love. So how can we not? When we are faithless, He remains faithful. That's the investment that we're talking about here. That's the sacrifice. And He's given us the great opportunity to play an active role in not only winning others to Christ at salvation, but then providing a healthy environment for them to grow in that direction. I think this is why Paul can say this in Philippians 3:8. This is his mindset. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. This is gain right here. This is what gain's all about. It's not only about yourself, it's about other people and moving in that direction. So as you know, today is our communion service, and God is always faithful in providing the content for us to think with about how we go about this. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says that we do have a command to do this in remembrance of me, which is Jesus Christ. And we are to remember what our Savior did for us, His sacrifice, and His part in drawing you to Him. But before we do that, before we partake in the elements, we also recognize 1 Corinthians 11:27, that the Lord's Supper is never something that should be done in an unworthy manner. Remember, there were believers at that time who were partaking of the elements out of fellowship. And so I know we did it, but just to be safe, I wanted to open with a word of prayer. And 1 Corinthians 11:29 says, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." So all that is confession. So as our men come forward, we'll go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer, and then we will get started. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are always just in awe of who You are and what Your Word tells us on a weekly, on a daily basis. You love us more than anything we will ever know until we actually get there. And we're so grateful for that, and we can see that, and we understand Your Word enough to know that we should continue to move in this direction. We thank You for all these things in Jesus Christ, and we ask in His name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served." Go ahead and open your, get the bread out. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Just remember that the bread represents Christ's sinless body, who was willingly broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Dear Father, thank You for who and what You are. Thank You for sending Jesus Christ to this earth to fulfill our salvation that we did not deserve. And we're just so grateful for it because it's by Your grace and through faith that we're saved. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He come. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. Go ahead and remove the top cover on the cup carefully. First Peter 1:18 says, We have not been redeemed by corrupt things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or without blemish. Just remember, as you drink of the cup, it represents Christ's substitutionary spiritual death on the cross, His burial and resurrection to provide our salvation. Take and drink thereof. Dear Father, we thank You so much again. I just want to say that we're always grateful and thankful, and we just pray that we can continue in this direction because we know that we're here on account of Your time and Your terms and Your grace. And we're thankful for that. We thank You for everything in Christ's name. Amen. I think we're going to sing a song, Dave.